But reading now Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his, notice, great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And then he adds, by grace ye are saved. And notice, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, and that is the eternal ages, which I don't know a lot about, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Yes, when we've been there 10,000 years, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Now, it's hard to grasp or to fathom that, because I ain't been around 100 yet. And I cannot begin to imagine, and even as John Newton failed, that even after 10,000 years, we still would praise and sing to God, and still have all eternity because of the riches, of course, of his grace. And then he said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So not only is God rich in love, and he is, therefore we are rich also in love. But not only is he rich in love, but God is rich in faith. I'm thankful that I am not only an object of his love, but I am an object of his faith. I did not have his love until he gave it to me. I would not have his love if he had not given it to me. I would be without love of God in my heart for him or for anyone else, had it not for what God had done for me. And that merely was because that I was an object of his love. He set his love upon me. But also, we're not only objects of his love, but we are objects of his faith. Now, God's love is rich, but God's faith is rich also. And what we must remember, even as we did not have love of God, we did not have the faith of God. And what we must remember, as the love of God was given to us, even so the faith of God was given unto us. We don't have faith. It is ours only after it has been given to us. And then we acknowledge that it is his faith that has been given to us. Ephesians 2:8 makes this very clear. And it is hard for me, as I said this morning, to fathom the love of God. But it is hard for me to fathom the depths of the faith of God. And to be so rich, God has made me so rich, not only to give me his love, but also to give me his faith. Now look what he says here in Ephesians 2:8. And these are God's riches. For by grace or are you saved through faith? And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. I'll never be able to exhaust this verse of Scripture. I read it, and I read it, I study it, I teach it, I preach it, but there's no way that I'll ever be able to wear it out, because it is the Word of God. What we find here and what we can see in this verse is that no person is able to produce this faith within themselves. That is this saving faith. Now, men make attempts. They do. And men are told to have this faith. And therefore, somehow or other, they get the idea as though it is something that they can come up with. But it is not. We must remember, even as we are not able to of ourselves have the love of God, we are not able of ourselves to even have the faith of God. I believe that this causes us to see the sovereignty of God. I believe it causes us to see the preeminent one, who is God the Creator and God the Sustainer and the one that upholds all things by the word of His power. So no pagan person is able to produce this saving faith. But even tacked onto that, no other person can produce it for you. As much as you would like to see someone else have saving faith, you cannot produce it for them. Even attempts are made at this also. Not only does man attempt to muster up this faith within himself, but many times other people attempt to muster up the faith in other people. And this is direct contrary to the Scriptures and to the Word of God. But not only can you produce it yourself and nobody else can produce it in you, but you can't buy it. It can't be purchased by anything you do, and it can't be purchased by how much money you have. It does not make any difference what you do, and it doesn't make any difference how much you have. Because this faith is not produced by the individual, by another person, or it is not produced by works, or it is not produced by money. What we got to simply see is it is a gift of God. And that's what he says here. Brother, I tell you, you ought to thank God for the love you have in your hearts, for the Lord and the love you have in your hearts for one another. And you ought to thank God that he gave it to you. But you ought to also ought to thank God for the faith, the saving faith that God gave you, enabling you to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You didn't have it. Nobody could produce it for you. You couldn't buy, but God gave it to you. And you ought to be thankful for that. And that's why that I believe that it says here, it is the gift of God. Now what we go back to here, and it's very simple and very plain to see in this verse, is that it is talking about faith is a gift of God. No one has faith apart from God. It is free, and it is freely given. And the only ones that receive it or have it is the ones that God gives it to. And the ones God don't give it to, they don't have it. And they never have it. But it is only the ones that God gives it to. And so how thankful we are that God is rich in faith. Now, if you're saved tonight, you're rich. You're first of all rich with God's love. And then you're rich with God's faith. Saving faith. that he speaks of or that he has here. And so this is a gift that God gives to us. He not only gives us saving faith, but he also gives us living faith. Now, brethren, I believe and I know that there is far more in this verse than we draw from it many times, and that is Romans 10:17. And that is that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and faith keeps on coming. That is not saving faith, but living faith. Brother, it is by the preaching of the word of God that we, and by the power of the Holy Spirit that takes the gospel, that brings us the place to where that we receive repentance and faith to save us. But then after we are saved by the word of God and by the preaching of the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then we receive the faith to live by, and that also comes from the word of God. And brother, that's a gift too. I can't give it to you. You can't give it to yourself, that is living faith. Someone else can't give it to you. God must give it to you, and it must come to you by the means that he's ordained, and that is the word of God. How does our faith increase? How do we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? It comes by the word of God. By being in the word of God. And the word of God is just not something you study like a history book, but you study it and the Holy Spirit teaches you and guides you and leads you and directs you and gives you that truth, and you take that truth to your heart. Brethren, that's some of the riches of God's marvelous faith that he has as a gift that is given. See, he gives it for us to be saved by, and then he keeps on giving. No wonder many said, have faith in God. And I believe that the Apostle Paul, when he was writing in the book of Romans, and there in chapter 1 and in verse 17, listen to what the Apostle Paul said. He said this. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, brethren, we are saved by faith. But then after that we are saved by faith, then we live by faith. And God gives that to us. We do not have that within ourselves, and we are dependent upon God. And it's truly a blessing to see here in the word of God that faith is a gift of God. And that's why he said, not by works, lest any man should boast. Where is the boasting? Where is the glory? Well, the glorying is in the Lord. The boasting is in the Lord. For we did not have love. We could not obtain love. We could not purchase love. No one could give love to us, no individual person. We did not have faith. We could not purchase it. No one could give it to us. We could not even muster it up ourselves. But God gave it to us. And I believe that when we come to the place that we recognize and see this, it makes us appreciative and to see how rich that we really are. We may die, as I said of the man here Wednesday night. We may die in his condition. As far as the world is concerned, we may be a pauper. But if we know Jesus Christ, we are rich. And we're rich even far beyond what this world can even imagine or this world can even think. But God is not only rich in love, he is not only rich in faith, but he is rich in mercy. But God, who is rich in mercy, and he says, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Now, this being rich in mercy carries with the thought of overflowing and abundant. Mercy is the riches or wealth of God. And it is only God that has this kind of mercy and can show this kind of mercy. Now men pride themselves in possession. But God is rich in mercy toward His people, and there's no way that it can be exhausted and it does not run out. The wealth of His mercy is seen, I believe, when we see our condition. That is, in respect to our condition that we were in. See what He says. And you have to see the condition you were in before God came to you. And this is what He makes very clear when He says you're in the second chapter of Ephesians in verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Of course, you were dead in trespasses and sins. And that's why you walked according to the course of this world. The prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had. Every one of us had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So I believe to see the riches of God's mercy, you've got to see the condition that you were in. And you've got to recognize what kind of a condition you were in before God saved you. And so He brings this out. But then that's when He says, but God who is rich in mercy. It's like a month or two ago when I received that $800 water bill. A lot of people gave me a lot of bad advice. Like, you know, I'd do this and I'd do that and I'd tell them this and I'd tell them that. You know what I told them? I went before the board and I said, I have appeared for mercy. It went through my meter. Some said, well, I'd tell them what I thought. I did. I did. $800 is a great big water bill. $74,000 a month went down the creek for 2 months. And when we discussed the thing, I said, they said, are you going to be in town for this? No, I'm not in town for a few days. I came for this board meeting. I drove 220 miles to ask for mercy. Somebody said, well, I wouldn't handle it that way. I did. And that's the same shape we were in. We owed a debt that we could not pay. It was out of reach. And we didn't go mouthing off and saying, hey, I don't think I'm as bad as you say I am. But we find here, but God who is rich in mercy. I believe that you have to see the condition we were in. We were dead with respect to our trespasses and our sins. I'm so thankful tonight that God did not give me what I justly deserved. But I am glad tonight that God had mercy on me. And therefore God gave me of His mercy. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1 and therein verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And because of God's mercy, look what else we have. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And because of mercy, God's mercy, look what else we have. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We did not deserve the mercy of God to be saved. But God, who is rich in mercy, for we find here, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And so, mercy is what God extended to us in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that he directs his mercy to who he wants to direct it to. I'm so thankful and privileged that God gave unto me and bestowed upon me his mercy. I believe that an example that really tells us of this is Romans chapter 9. And we're talking about God who is rich in mercy. For Paul said in the 9th chapter of the book of Romans, and there in verse 11, he says this. For the children being not yet born. Now that's something we ought to ponder. We weren't born either. Neither having done any good or evil. We ought to ponder that too. It's not whether you've done good or evil. That don't have nothing to do with it. Now look. That the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. You need to ponder all of that. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, this is Exodus 33:19, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Now I take that to heart. And I'm thankful that it pleased God to have mercy on me. And by the mercy of God to save my wretched soul. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth. Now 1 John brings this out, chapter 1. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. The same thing I said about the love, the same thing I said about the faith, I say the same thing about the mercy. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even while we were dead in sins, hath he saved us or quickened us. By grace are you saved. And he says here, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore he hath mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? But nay, O man, who art thou that pliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor, another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his power and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And that he might make known the riches. Here it is. The riches of God, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore. That's beforehand prepared unto glory. And by nature, we were the children of wrath, even as others. But I didn't bring all this out this morning and thought about it. That His love extended to us, even in the manifestation of taking care of us, even before that He saved us. And He watched over us and cared for us and brought us to the place to where that we repented of our sins and we received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So He directs His mercy to the persons of His choosing to be loved or objects of His love. Now, is this not what Paul was saying when he wrote to Titus, and he said in Titus 3 and verse 5? Now, I want you to think about how rich you are tonight. It would be my privilege if I were called upon to preach your funeral. Now, I don't think I want you to die. To be able to say, well, they were rich. They were rich in love. They were rich in faith. And they were rich in mercy. Because God gave it to them. But look what he says in Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And so we see that God is rich in mercy. But we glory in tribulation because of faith. And we have the shield of faith to guard us against the devil. But we glory in the mercy that God had upon us. But then, last of all, right quickly, in Ephesians chapter 2, and there in that in those verses that I've been reading, it says in the latter part of verse 5, by grace you're saved. And then he says in verse 8, for by grace are you saved. And he says, through. But God is rich in grace. We are objects of His grace. And oh, the unmeritable favor of God is what it is. Meaning that no one can merit the favor of God. You can't buy the favor of God. You can't attract the favor of God. You can't purchase or demand the favor of God. I thought of this verse of Scripture. You know how the Lord blessed when He saved that group of people at Pentecost? You know when Peter preached that great message and they continued daily with one accord in the temple in prayers and the breaking of bread from house to house, and it says, praising God, and said, and having favor. Now that favor was with all the people. But that's really what the grace of God is. Is God favoring us? It is the unmeritable. It is the unmeritable grace of God that is given to us. There are some manifestations of His grace in chapter 1 of Ephesians. Chapter 1 and verse 3, here's one of them. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. And here is the manifestation of His grace, His spiritual blessings, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Another manifestation of His grace is verse 4. Chosen in Him. Another of His grace is in verse 5. Predestinated us on the adoption of children. But now, as you read that, now look with me as I read and follow me as I read it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us in the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, and verse 6. Two. What is it? To the praise of the glory of His grace. Why did He choose us before the foundation of the world in Christ? His grace. Why did He predestinate us for the adoption of children? His grace. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. And then, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. What is that? According to the what? Look at it, verse 7. According to the riches of His grace. Yes, God, who is rich in mercy, who is rich in love, who is rich in faith, and who is rich in grace. It's a marvelous thing how rich we are. To be able, by the grace of God and the love of God, to love the unlovable. To be able to believe and trust God in that which is unbelievable and unthinkable. That's what we do. When there are things that the world is totally rejecting and will not receive, we believe Him by the faith that God has given us. And then it is such a marvelous thing to be the recipient of the mercy of God, and then to know of the grace of God, and to have the saving faith, and to be able to live by the saving grace that God gives, and to be able to live by the grace of God from day to day, and then even to come down and to be given dying grace. And at the same time, when He gives us saving grace, it's through faith. And then when He gives us living grace, it's through faith. And then when He gives us dying grace, it's through faith. Amen. It's through the faith that we know that the Lord has saved us. We're in His hands. That we're just passing, as someone said, changing residence. Just moving from this place to a better place. Yes, God's source is the God of all grace, and the supply is sufficient. I never tire of reading 2 Corinthians 12, and there in verse 9. So these are some of the riches of God. Now that's how rich you are tonight.